At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.
Hey, it's JD here, and welcome to the Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown. It is my absolute pleasure to be here with you week over week, where we're counting down 40 essential tracks by the hip that you selected with your very own top 20 ballots. I then tabulated the results using an abacus and a psychic ferret that only communicates in riddles about tax evasion. And that's how they always get you. Rico, baby, Rico. How will your favorite songs fare in the rankings? You'll need to tune in every week to find out. So there's that. This week, I'm joined by Tragically Hip superfan, Yannick from Toronto. Yannick, how are you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm really good. Yeah, awesome. This is a lot of fun. So I want to welcome everybody to the first episode, and I want to welcome you to the first episode. We're celebrating here because this is the kickoff.
Of course. Yeah, very exciting. Thank you for having me. This is an honor. I'm happy to kick it off and with you. And like we said before, no pressure, you know, let's just have fun.
That's right. We're just talking about our favorite band here. We're just exactly. People house talking about our favorite band. All we need is a pint and a table between us, really, you know?
Totally. I mean, I've got a table in front of me. I've got a pint of water, if that works.
Yeah. Well, what do you say we get right into things? The format of the show basically is going to be me talking to a guest about their Tragically Hip origin story. And I'm really curious to hear yours, Yannick, from Toronto.
Let's do it. Yeah. Should I just jump right into it?
Jump right in.
Okay. Well, my story, I guess my hip story is, I would say maybe an unconventional one, though I've realized by talking with people, by fans and with fans and whatnot, it's not a rare one. I was not really into the hip at all when I was growing up, when I was younger.
I know.
Shocking. I came to them kind of later, more recently. Of course, kind of during their last tour. It was covered everywhere, and you could see it on the news. I was kind of forced, maybe, or encouraged to learn about them, and I'm thankful I did. And then since then, it's kind of been a love story since. But so definitely unconventional, I think, and interesting that I'm the one maybe kicking it off. But I told myself I'd chat with you, and I would not be ashamed of my own unique story.
Oh, of course not. Well, I want to know though. I want to start at the start. I want to know what the process of hippicizing yourself looked like. You know, people listened to Getting Hip to the Hip a couple years back, and they heard me indoctrinate Tim and Pete.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do to, you know, get it in your blood?
No. I mean, it was, like I mentioned, it was not, even though I'm Canadian, like you, and it seems like it's in our blood, just like Tim Hortons, but it wasn't in mine, I guess, growing up. And I remember even listening to, in my high school days, undergrad, when I would drive around, I would turn on the local classic rock station. And even sometimes, you know, and I'll be honest with you, I would change station if Gord's voice would come on.
What?
And I know. And you know, I told you I'd be honest, but there was just something about, I mean, I've thought about it since. I was definitely kind of a snobbish little kid, I was starting to study classical music in my undergrad. I think I was, you know, my head was, though I do come from a rock background, I was really into the 70s stuff and the 60s, but there was just something about, I don't know if it's kind of the culture that was presented around maybe the hip, this kind of, you know, the people often quote the bro culture.
Sure.
That came. Sure. And I really didn't identify. What I did identify with was that lyric in Fireworks where he said you didn't give a fuck about hockey. Well, that resonated with me because that also wasn't really in my blood. I've always been kind of more of an artist than a sporty person. But so I my only exposure to the hip was through the radio and it just kind of sounding like, you know, not that impressive to me maybe at first, and my head was full of these ideas about what art was and what I was into the progressive rock stuff, so I had kind of bigger ideas of what, you know, the theatricality of it all. Anyways, fast forward some years, you know, to their last tour, and then I finally had the chance to kind of see what they were about, to see Gord perform, to see the band performing through video footage that was circulating all over the news, and I had realized I'd never even taken the time to, you know, even YouTube a performance of them. Which I don't have. I think that's my, you know, biggest regret in life would be to not have given them a chance earlier. But I'm thankful that I have since, and have kind of discovered more of, and have discovered more, but also dove deep.
What does the deep dive look like? What did it consist of? Like, what record did you go to first?
Sure. I guess the first. Well, like I mentioned, we connected through your last podcast, Discovering Downey, and that one resonated with me. I found interesting because of the concept of it. People, guests discovering Gord Downey's solo career, coming in as hip super fans, and for me, it was kind of the reverse. Of course, with the last tour, and then the work he did afterwards, The Secret Path, and all the work around that, I kind of got into his music through his solo work. So after I took the time to really soak in The Secret Path and what it was all about, then I fell in love with the rest of his discography, solo stuff, and was kind of, you know, flirting a little bit with the hips discography a bit more. The more recent stuff, I was seeing kind of the evolution of the sound that they had that was maybe a bit more in line with my tastes at that point, a bit more alternative, a bit more maybe Now for Plan A, especially the final album, those kind of spoke to me at first, and then getting to know their work and what they were all about, then I kind of jumped in. And the pandemic, early pandemic, was a time for me to discover. I told myself I would go through my favorite artists' discographies or artists I wanted to learn more about. So they were one that I decided to binge kind of from the beginning. And then that's when, I kind of saw the whole arc of their work. And since then, have not stopped discovering and listening and just enjoying it.
There is such a treasure trove of video on YouTube. Have you accessed some of that now to see some of these live performances?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Now I'm just, you know, eating it up all the time. And especially, like I mentioned, if I had even just taken the chance to do a YouTube search earlier on, I would have seen what they were all about live. And I feel like that's a lot of discussions that I have with hip fans. It's all about the live performance, right? It's that energy that they brought, that the kind of the showman that Gord is or was. And I was being in love with the theatricality of rock and roll, if I had just given that a chance, I would have noticed, oh, you know, he's just like Jim Morrison. He's just like David Bowie. He's, you know, Peter Gabriel, all those people that I loved. He was his own version of that. And so now I'm soaking it all in. I love his stagecraft. I love his unique way of performing. And of course the getting to see the final concert as well in Kingston, you know, that's one that I often go back to since it was released, and just always YouTubing what I missed, I guess.
It's nice that you can do that though. It's mm-hmm. so nice that you can do that.
Totally.
This is the beautiful thing about art. Like it doesn't always get context that it was conceived in, you know, it doesn't always get to have the context that it was conceived in, is what I'm trying to say. Let me try that one more time. My voice is going. It doesn't always get the context that it's conceived in. Sometimes it could be years later that mm-hmm. you discover this art and you bring with it your own, you know, unique perspectives. And, you know, voila, suddenly you've just got this great, like I said, treasure trove of work to go through.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. And I think, of course, there, you know, the story, I keep going back to the year of the final tour, but for me, that was a pivotal moment. You know, it was my first taste of them, the first time I saw them, but it was also, you know, the year that we lost, I think it was the same year as Prince, David Bowie, that same year. And even personally, I have an aunt who got re-diagnosed, I guess, with cancer that year around that same time. So I think that the kind of public grieving or the public kind of the way that I could see this artist and this band going through it together and so publicly and so willing to, you know, to fight, but also celebrate life and what they've done, that really resonated with me, and it helped me, you know, it really, and then to just hear him talk about all of it, Gord, that last Peter Mansbridge interview, is just so touching and moving and heartbreaking, but also, just so inspiring.
Yeah, good choice of words. I agree. There's something about that vision I have of Gord wearing the First Avenue hat, you know, mm-hmm. the jean jacket that just looks so fucking cool.
Yeah.
he's just a different version of Gord. Than, like, I was inspired by him as an artist growing up. I wanted to be, you know, he was my hero.
Sure.
But he became a different sort of hero as I got older. And that's the hero that I envision now, you know, that late version of Gord, that guy who showed up on Peter Mansbridge and was inspiring to a whole different set of people in a whole different context.
Totally, totally. And how beautiful as well that, and if the listeners are even, I'm sure you have watched the recent documentary.
I was just going to ask you about that.
Okay. But I was just going to say, like, how beautiful that throughout his career, you know, throughout their career, the band changed with their age, right? They grew up. We got to see them. Their music grew up. Their music matured. Their music changed. And as sad as the end always is, how inspiring, how kind of amazing that we kind of got the chance to have this kind of full cycle with them.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, they there's that expression, you know, we were born in the right time, you know.
Sure.
Like we got to it, we lived at the same time that he lived, and that was really great. And it does make you wonder how he'll be remembered, how his legacy will be remembered generations down the road.
Yeah.
And the bands as well, like, for their importance in Canadian culture, and in some cases people, you know, identifying with them to a very deep degree, far more so than hockey and Tim Hortons.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. And those are also things that, you know, that make us unique and that are worth celebrating for sure. We kind of embrace those as part of our identity. But I think, yeah, the fact that the only thing in life that really brings us that is common is, you know, taxes and death, as right. they always say. So yeah, the seeing them kind of embrace that and celebrate that really was to me kind of my way in. Then I was like, okay, this band is serious art. I really was sleeping on them and did not give them a chance early. Unfortunate that it had to take this, you know, tragic moment, but I guess it was tragically hip after all. I don't know.
It was bound to happen at least once in 40
years. Yeah, so. I guess.
You may as well get it out of the way in the first one. Yannick from Toronto, I'm curious about the record that you go to when you're looking for that art. You mm-hmm. mentioned before Man Machine Poem and now for Plan A. Let's exclude those two from this sure. equation. And sure. what's sort of your go-to right now?
Yeah. I mean, like any good artist, you know, there's the beauty is kind of the variety of it all. I think in the moment, if I have to answer in the moment, I've been kind of more into Road Apple, Fully Completely, kind of that era.
Yeah. Oh, it's good stuff. It is good stuff.
It's so good. It's just rock and roll, you know, just with so much depth to it. And I guess, excuse me. There's also depth through the lyrics, but the kind of simplicity, maybe not that their music was simple, but that era really feels like just a good, jamming band, right. at the peak at a certain peak, not to say at the peak of their career, but at a peak of, at maybe a first peak before the next one, right?
Yeah, Greg used to always say they were like the best bar band. Like they were the best bar band. And those, you know, I feel like Fully Completely was the moment that was like realized, like mm-hmm. you know, like the depth of their powers in that sort of realm. And then from there you get another era with Day for Night. You know, it's sort of that record is so much more moody and atmospheric.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Then you go
oh, and I love
Trouble
that one
at the
too.
Hen House, and it's yeah. you know. So uh-huh. yeah, those first three records, not counting Baby Blue, but those first three records are, you know, them just swaggering with coolness and mm-hmm. swaggering with bravado. Just how goddamn good they are as a uh-huh. as a fucking bar band. Like it's unreal. And they could play a stadium at that time if they wanted to.
Sure. Yeah.
Yannick from Toronto, do you think we should maybe talk about the song of the week?
Let's do it. Yeah, okay. Let's rock.
We'll be right back after this.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need. And you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.
Hey, this is Paul Langwa from the Tragically Hip saying hello. Now on with the countdown.
Drip, drip, I was just happy you gave a fuck.
Well, the cat is out of the bag. The first song on the Top 40 countdown, coming in at number 40 from the tremendous 2012 long play, Now for Plan A, Yannick from Toronto. What did you think of We Want to Be It when you heard it for the first time?
Oh, I loved it. I love this song. There's from the first listen, I remember listening to this album for the first time and first of all, loving the sound of all of it. I remember being surprised also that that a lot of, you know, countdowns or top albums online, blogs or whatnot, would put this one kind of low on the list. Because this album kind of resonated with me a lot, the soundscape, and the depth.
It's on my turntable right now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I think it's people always talk about it being an underestimated album, and I would have to say so as well. I think it's going to, and I already see it kind of getting more attention, but it definitely does deserve everybody's re-listening and re-re-re-re-listening as well. But specifically this song, going back to this song, there's so much to it. There's so much, as I mentioned, the sound, the band sounds amazing. To me, my first impression, it had kind of a similar sound that David Bowie kind of gets in his The Next Day album around the same, I think that's 2013.
Okay.
But
I'm not familiar with it, so.
Oh, just, okay.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. So it has that kind of alternative, I don't know, there was just something about it that I kind of, yeah, thought, oh, this is kind of what Bowie was doing in this era, and I thought that was cool. Yeah.
That's wild then, because if Bowie's came out in 2013, they would have recorded this in 2011.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's true. Yeah.
That's a neat thought to think about, right?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. It makes you wonder.
Yeah.
Conspiracy theories out there.
No. I didn't even mean that. I just mean, you know, great artists being inspired by great artists, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
No, totally. And that's, you know, if I'd go back and listen and compare them back to back, there might not be that many similarities, but
it was for just me, it was the vibe just, that you got.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. Kind of how the band sounds. And of course, it was very different than what I remembered, you know, hearing from like on the radio, a lot of Up to Here, a lot of Road Apple, kind of like we mentioned, the kind of bar rock stuff. And this was very different and closer to maybe what he did in his solo career. So I remember, yeah, feeling, but anyways, going back to this song, there was just the mystery of the story. Who are these people? Where are they in their life? And you get that, I guess, with lots of Gord songs. I saw there was a whole movie in my mind listening to this song for the first time.
Oh, wild.
Did you ever feel like that with this one?
It is definitely evocative, right? Uh-huh. Like there's some great imagery, even with the drip, drip, drips repeated mm-hmm. and the click, click, clicks. Like I can see the doctor in the white coat, you know?
Sure.
Being the smartest person in the room, I can visualize that. So that's triumphant for me. But the music is also so moody, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's just so nice. And uh-huh. then you build up to that big, bold chorus.
Oh, I love it.
Gord just unleashes the vocals.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. There's something about, it's amazing to hear him go there, right? Not that he was never, not that he never released the kind of rawness, but there's something about the range he's in. There's something about the intensity of it with the band joining along. It's, it's a different, it's a next level kind of singing for sure.
Uh-huh. I love that. Next level. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Did you mentioned the doctor and that, and I've definitely read that or heard about this, and of course this album being considered, you know, the cancer album.
Right.
Was that your first impression? Like, did that cross your mind the first time you listened to this song?
I had no idea the drip, drip, drip and chemotherapy, but I did.
Sure.
Like, I pictured a white coat, like a doctor in a white coat with the clicking of the pen, being the smartest person in the room.
That's totally not at all my first. I was not. I think maybe in your podcast, yeah, definitely, you guys talked about that, and then of course, you know, people have mentioned this interpretation, and I think it makes perfect sense. But that was not my first impression of this song. I think the drip drip was just to me kind of the faucet, like a leaky faucet or something.
Okay,
there was something very kind of
banal.
Yeah, exactly. The kind of the noises to me, all the noises were just kind of the mundane everyday sounds that kind of fill the silence. You know what I mean?
Oh, I like that.
Because to me, my first impression of this song was very much just a couple at a point in their life where they're, you know, maybe at a crossroads, maybe something tragic is happening, maybe. But I wasn't reading. I didn't think about that immediately. I don't think I went into this album also knowing what was going on in Cord's life at that point.
No, me neither.
Okay, yeah. So I think it was. And then the smartest guy in the room, to me, it felt like, you know, the guy at the bar who thinks he's got all the moves and he's got over talking and are at the party and trying to an attention grabber while the main character is kind of just distracted by his partner, just saying, you know, whatever he says, whatever he tries to do, I can't stop hearing you, can't stop looking at you. But I guess that's the beauty. I guess that's the beauty of their work, eh? It's the so many layers to it.
I think so. I think so. Because my first question to you would be like, you know, there's the cancer theory, and then there's your theory about the, you know, the couple sort of falling out of favor, to for lack of a better phrase. Mm. Why can't both be true? Like, we now know, in hindsight, that that's what ended up happening with Gord's relationship. Maybe they were in a good place before then. And I don't really want this podcast to be a place where we, you know, speculate about this. So I'll just, you know, that's his private life and his personal life.
Of course.
But it's there in his art. So for this one song, we're sort of making an exception and discussing this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But this won't be a habit, listeners. Don't worry. We're, you know, it's not going to be the TMZ of the Tragically Hip.
Yeah.
So is this one of your top tracks on Now for Plan A at this point? Or talk to me about the rest of that record. Like, where does it fit in with the rest of the record for you?
I'd say so. I think this one and Man Machine Poem would be up there. I don't know, there's something about the how aggressively loving these songs are. It's kind of this angry commitment to something. It's there's so much passion to them both. They're both kind of there's you just get a feeling of there's stakes. There's high stakes, and you can hear it in his voice, you can hear it in the band. Musically and also, yeah, lyrically, I think those two to me on this album, and I love lots of them. At Transformation's great, The Look Ahead is great. There's a beautiful variety for a short album as well. But I think, yeah, those two, Man Machine Poem and this song, are definitely kind of on my own top, maybe even on my own top 10, I'd say.
Oh. Interesting. So you've, knowing that this came in at number 40, like you said off the top, you're feeling a little bit miffed maybe that it's as low in the countdown as it is.
But I understand there are so many songs. You know, if you're going to pick 40, at least it made the 40, you know.
It's true. Yeah.
it could have been out of the game, so I'm happy that it is. I guess let's That'll be the headline. This song made the top 40.
Yes. Okay, Yannick from Toronto, it has been dynamite talking to you this afternoon, but before we part ways, I'm wondering if you have anything you would like to plug.
Yeah, thanks so much. This has been so much fun, and I'm so happy to be here with you and to kick this off.
Yeah.
I look forward to hearing to tuning in every week. But yeah, I guess I do music. I'm an opera singer. I work in opera mostly. So, you know, follow me, Yannick Gosselin, on the socials if you want, or not, if you're into that. And I'd love to, you know, I always love to kind of, a lot of the work I do kind of, I aim to kind of bridge gaps between music genres and disciplines and different artistic disciplines. So I'm looking forward to connecting with people and making art. I also, as a hip fan, I have a small Instagram page called Dance Like Gord. If you're into dancing Gord, if you're into his on stage shenanigans and as much as I am, then go give that a follow. I'd appreciate it too. Yeah, grow the love for the band.
Absolutely. Yeah, flying the flag. That's what we're doing here, man. That's
exactly
what we're doing here.
That's it.
And
we'll
keep doing it every week until we hit number fucking one.
Can't wait.
Thanks for stopping by, everybody. Pick up your shit.
Thanks for listening to the Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown. To email us, send an email to tthtop40@gmail.com. We're social. Find us on all the socials at tthtop40.
Tuvra Podcasts and such.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.